Welcome, members, and today we are dealing with the consideration of the budgetary review recommendations report and the consideration and adoption of minutes. I don't know where it will put us. We might have to do that tomorrow if we don't finish today. But yeah, surely, that's what the chief said. So what did you say? Yeah, because you reckon that we are going to be going through the report, the researchers will take us through the report, and then I think it will be proper to go page by page so that everyone is satisfied, and with the input, the subtraction, that we are going to be doing is going to take us a long time, and I think we want to do justice to the report, and the minutes we will look at them tomorrow when we adopt the report, because after the report we will have to go back and finalize it, and then come up with the report tomorrow, and then we adopt it, and then also consider the minutes. Honourable members, without the waste of time, I would straight away allow Shifa to take us through. Oh, okay, can we get apologies? But even if we don't quorum, we will continue because we are not going to adopt this. Others who come will find us on the way.
We have received three apologies. One is from Honorable Noresh arriving late, but she will join the meeting. And then Teacher Taylor, she's attending meetings with the drawing. And then Paul's apology, she won't be able to attend. She's not feeling well.
Thank you. Can you proceed?
Good afternoon. We have before us this afternoon the draft budget review and recommendations report. Just to reiterate what Chairperson has said, everything contained in the report is a reflection of what members have discussed in terms of the annual report, engagement with the departments on the quarterly report, oversight of the report. Everything here. Everything contained in this report, findings, recommendations, is based on and what has come out of engagement by the committee. Yes, the report is extremely long. It's 32-33 pages. But to ensure this comprehensive, that we cover everything that members have said, what the department has given us, that's what is included. As well as input from the FFC, as well as the AG, in terms of the template, the outline of this report, there were set headings which all the content advisors had to follow, and we received a template of what the report is supposed to look like. So if there are questions about the headings, and what they're titled, how they framed, what they named, basically told to follow instructions. So the report is based on what we were given. So starting on page one, in terms of the introduction and the mandate of the committee, women, children, and people with disabilities, not youth, I'll take that out, is to legislate, conduct oversight of the executive, promote public participation, facilitate international agreements and review matters of public interest in relation to the Department of Women's Working with People with Disabilities. In terms of the description of the core functions of the Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities was established to emphasize the need for equity and access to development opportunities for vulnerable groups in the South African society. This department was created in May 2009 to replace the former multinational agencies such as in the presidency, which lacked sufficient financial and human resources and the necessary authority to coordinate and oversee the mandate. The purpose of the department is to drive the government's equity, equality and empowerment agenda in regard to marginalized groups and historically disadvantaged communities in each of the three sectors. According to the Department's revised Future Plan for 2040, its vision refers to an empowered society that upholds the rights of women, children and people with disabilities. The mission of the Department is to maintain the rights and empowerment of women, children and people with disabilities through advocacy, institutional support and capacity development, monitoring and evaluation. The Department's strategic objectives are aligned to the following programs: administration, women empowerment and gender equality, children's rights and responsibilities, and the rights of people with disabilities. In terms of the purpose of the BRR report, the Money Bonds Procedure and Related Amendment Act of 2009 sets out the process that allows Parliament to make recommendations to the Minister of Finance to amend the budget of a national department. Section 5.1 of the Money Bonds Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act requires that the National Assembly, through its committee, must annually assess the performance of each national department. Section 5.2 on page 2 makes provision for the annual submission of the budget review and the recommendations report for tabling in the National Assembly of each department. It is expected of the BRR to report on the following: assessment of the department service delivery performance given the available resources, assessment on the effectiveness and efficiency of the department's use, and forward allocation of available resources, and may include recommendations on the forward use of resources. In order to enable the committee to take informed decisions for the performance of the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities for the financial year 12-13, the committee consults the following reports and documents: Section 32 reports of National Treasury, the annual report of 2012-13, reports of the Auditor General of South Africa, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, State of the Nation Address 2012, and the Financial Fiscal Commission presentation. All of this information will assist the committee to decide the performance of the department. I think just to note, in terms of the years, so this BRR focused on the annual report of 2012-13. In actual fact, we do need to reflect on the state of the nation of 2012 and a little bit of 2013, but mostly it's retrospective for 2012. In terms of the method 1.4, in complying with Section 5.2 of the Moneyball's Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, the Portfolio Committee on Women, Children and People with Disabilities, held a meeting on the 2012-13 annual report of the department on 10 October 2013. The Office of the Auditor General and the Financial Fiscal Commission was also invited to give input during the budget review and recommendation report process on 9 October 2013. Moreover, the committee undertook an oversight visit to the offices of the department 26 to 28 March 2013. Subsequently, the committee was briefed and deliberated on the all four quarterly reports for 2012-13 and the first quarter report for 2013-14. The report therefore depicts key issues that were identified by the committee. The department informed the committee that the second quarter report for 2013-14, once finalized, will be submitted for consideration. So that is essentially covered in terms of how we divide at the findings and the recommendations, what are the key documents we've had in the report. 1.5, outline of the content of the report. This report reflects on the key policy focus areas insofar as women, children, persons with disabilities are concerned. As a backdrop to the analysis of the financial and programmatic performance of the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, it is important to ascertain what government's key priorities are and how these affect the aforementioned target groups in order to ascertain what progress has been made, as well as determine the gaps and challenges that has to be addressed. The next section, overview of the key relevant policy focus areas. As I've indicated, this BRR focuses on the annual report of Trial 13, so we also need to revisit and see what are the implications of the 2012 State of the Nation address in terms of women, children, and people with disabilities. The emphasis of the 2012 State of the Nation address was based on job creation through infrastructural development along with reflection of the country's achievements and challenges since 2012. Moreover, the PDG highlighted the government's key priority areas, namely education, health, rural development, and land reform, as well as the fight against crime. All of these areas are most relevant for women, children, and persons with disabilities. Even the government has introduced initiatives such as land reform and redistribution, prevention of mother-to-child transmission programs, family, child, and sexual health units, cash grants like child support grants, all of which benefit women. Many challenges still exist to bring about gender equity in society. Issues such as the feminization of poverty, gender-based violence, and gender inequity in the workplace are some examples of the challenges that persist. In terms of children, the 2012 State of the Nation address, place particular emphasis on the importance of education. To date, government has implemented several initiatives to improve outcomes of education, such as the Triple T approach, school nutrition program, and emphasis on math, science, and technology, but to name a few. However, the key challenge remains trying to improve the quality of education, access for children with disabilities, learner safety, and particularly around issues around violence in schools, and safe product transport. Furthermore, the President reiterated the government's commitment to attaining the 2% employment equity target for persons with disabilities in the public service. Thus, the President's views are directed that all government departments must ensure that the target is indeed met. Notwithstanding this, government's commitment for initiating a 2% target, the Public Services Commission's State of Public Services Report has shown this to the contrary. So in essence, just a summary of 2012 State of the Nation, education was high on the agenda for children, the 2% target was reinforced, and job creation around women was mentioned. In terms of implications of the 2013 State of the Nation address, the 2013 State of the Nation address makes improving the status of women as a critical priority for government. To this end, the President spoke mainly of the implications of violence against women and the mechanisms in place to protect women in this regard. From a legislative perspective, the President made mention of the Gender Equality and Women Empowerment Bill, the Domestic Violence Act, the Protection from Harassment Bill, and the Prevention and Combating of Trafficking in Persons Bill. The latter two, in terms of the bill, have subsequently been enacted. Furthermore, reference was also made to the establishment of a National Council on Gender-Based Violence and enhancing the capacity of the family violence, child protection, and sexual offences units. Notwithstanding the importance of violence as a priority area in relation to women, equally so too are all of government's strategic priorities, which is about job creation and economic empowerment, infrastructure development, education, health, and land reform, all of which have gendered implications. Similarly, all of the aforementioned affect the lives of children and persons with disabilities. In addition, the impact of the National Development Plan was given central prominence in the State of the Nation address. This is now for 2013. The development goals contained in the NDB are crucial for women, children, and persons with disabilities. Citizens driven emphasize that activities of departments must be aligned with the National Development Plan. For persons with disabilities, the creation of the Job Fund, as highlighted by the President, is an important opportunity to access as a means of achieving economic empowerment. In terms of health, the President referred to the implementation of the National Health Insurance, which has direct implications for women, children, and persons with disabilities as well. Two other key health issues indicated was that of the life expectancy and the infant and under-5 mortality rates in the country. Education also formed a significant in the importance of improving the outcomes of math, science, and technology at school. Those, in terms of the state of the nation, they just give What did the president note at the priority and what were the implications for Chilton? Then specifically in terms of the budget review, the budget implications for our department. The budget of the Department of Women, Children and People's Disabilities grew from 143.1 million in 2011-12 to 172.2 in the 2012-13 financial year. This department's budget constitutes a mere 0.01% of the overall national department. Subsequently, the budget of the department grew from 172.2 million in 2012-13 to 198.3 in 2013-14 financial year. Although this was a nominal increase of 2.85% when inflation is taken into account, the budget actually decreased by 2.60%. Thus, in real terms, the department had less funding to work with than it had in the previous financial year. This department's budget constitutes a mere 0.013% of the overall national budget. So we can see, in the first instance, when we looked at 11-12 to 12-13, when we looked at all the allocations for all the departments, at that stage, our department was 0.01%. Then in the following year, we were 0.013%. So we saw that at the bottom. In the previous financial year, the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Program consumed most of the budget at 55%. However, the majority of this budget was transferred to the Commission for Gender Equality, as in this financial year. In this financial year, which is 2013-14, the administration program consumes 46% of the budget. 2.4, in terms of the template, this heading was around outcome-based approach and the delivery of leading targets for 2012-13 and 2013-14. And what I looked at was what the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation had said in terms of their scorecards and how they assess, because they focus on outcomes. And I just captured what Minister Chabane had said in relation to our department. So according to the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, a self-assessment scorecard per national department, performance areas are measured through management standards. So for the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities, scored as follows. For strategic management was 2, governance and accountability 1.5, human resource and systems management 1.5, and financial management 1.8. The latter three areas were identified as requiring more attention for improvement in order to achieve better outcomes. So how department of monitoring and evaluation scored performance areas, where the area was in red, that was considered as an area that required attention. So in our department, the latter three were the areas in red. In terms of the overview of the revised strategic plan and annual performance plan, in 2013, the department indicated that it aimed to fully manage the following strategic goals, which provide the framework to which activities and projects are aligned over the medium term. These goals are effective leadership management and administrative support services provided to the department to ensure that it delivers on its mandate in an efficient and sustainable manner, coordinate and facilitate the process of establishing the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, to maintain the consideration of women empowerment, gender equality, disability, and children's rights in government policies and government, women empowerment, gender equality, children's rights and disability considerations in government policies and governance processes mainstream. Last one, institutional support and capacity development program for promotion, protection, and advancement of women, children, and people with disabilities. So in its presentation, this is the department's presentation to us, its revised strategic plan in April 2012, the department either identified the following strategic objectives for the 2012-13 financial year. Firstly, advocating for the promotion and protection of the rights of women, children and persons with disabilities, monitoring and evaluating gender, disability and children's rights by ensuring that the National Compendium of natural indicators indicate status for women, children, and people with disability, ensuring that the mainstream of gender, disability, and children's rights has been established. Cabinet, POSOD, SASTER, departmental, provincial, and local government levels, as well as public-funded institutions, private sector, and the community at large. Strengthening institutional capacity to develop quality service, strengthening participation in strategic bilateral and multilateral initiatives, contribute to empowerment and equality for women, children, and people with disabilities. Furthermore, the department set out to engage in research and collaboration with other departments, entities and stakeholders that share vision with a view to incorporating the current function and evaluation framework of government with indicators that are responsive to issues of empowerment and equality for children, women and people with disabilities. It will also collaborate with civil society to achieve objectives highlighted above. So although there is synergy between the goals and objectives identified in the strategic plan, and the annual report and the strategic focus has not changed, but goals or objectives are not explicitly similar. So in other words, if you align them, the words are not exactly the same. In terms of 2.6, overview of key developments in the organizational and service delivery environment of the department for 2012-13 and the 14 MTS cycle. A key development of the department in 2012-13 has been the development and implementation of a turnaround strategy. Notwithstanding the resource challenges and capacity constraints, the department was able to appoint a director general and a chief financial officer amidst filling unfilled vacant positions. In addition, the National Council on Gender-Based Violence was also launched. Chair, can I just ask before we go any further, maybe up until this point, if there are anything that I need to amend, change, or add, because what carried on from the next section is the detail about the BRR and the annual report.
If I not remember, up to page 5. Anything that you would like to raise?
The chairperson, does our previous BRR report impact on this report? Does how does it impact it?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Last year's BRR report, does it have any impact? Does it have any impact on this report? Our last year's BRR report.
I don't know, but I think what I for me, from page 1 up to page 3, we are not yet in the content of the report in relation to 2012. And I saw that perhaps when we go to from page 6, where it is also reflecting back on the BRR 2012, is where we will be able to go to determine that.
Thank you.
Starting on page 6, summary of previous key financial and performance recommendations of the committee. So in this section, it focuses on the 2012-13 BRR recommendations. So in other words, the BRR that we did last year, the mandate had an impact on the year 2012-13. Here was a summary of the key financial and non-financial performance recommendations made by the committee in the 2012 BRR report, and progress made in this regard, which is tabulated in the table below. The Minister of Finance will provide any response to the recommendations made by the committee last year. In terms of Table 1, since they came back on the BRR for 2012, what I've done is I've listed exactly the recommendations that were noted in the report of last year, and then for each recommendation noted progress and challenges in terms of 2013. So for the first one, A, the department must focus its strategic objectives, targets and outcomes on its core mandate of coordination, monitoring and evaluation. In terms of the progress, the department has ensured that its strategic objectives were linked to government priorities, purpose, recommendations, at least in budget speech. However, objectives, targets, and performance indicators were not smart, as emphasized by the Auditor General. B, in terms of the recommendations, departments must work collaboratively with other government departments and entities, but must guard against duplicating activities and initiatives which fall within the mandate of other departments. In terms of response and strategies, 9 MOUs were signed with either government department, office of the premier, government agency, and or donor funder. The list was submitted to the committee in November 2012. That was emailed last year as a request from the committee. C, the department should take heed of matters of emphasis as highlighted by the Auditor General of South Africa, as well as promptly implement recommendations and corrective measures as set up by the AG in its audit report on the department. I think just before we get on the progress for C, the other two key things I'd like to highlight around collaboration for the department. Collaboration within the department. All programs have undertaken several activities and introduced various outputs. However, it is unclear how the officials across the different programs are working collaboratively to ensure the mainstreaming of gender, children's and persons with disability rights is indeed strengthened in the department. In terms of the collaboration with the CGE, during the deliberations pertaining to the course's performance of the department and the CGE, common focus areas were identified, namely the review of the 365-day action plan and gender audits, which both organs of state were engaged in. The work is necessary. However, the committee cautioned that in order to avoid duplication and resources not to be used optimally, collaboration should be strengthened, particularly between the National Council on Gender-Based Violence, WEDGE program, and the research unit of the CGE. So those were just other two issues of collaboration. So going back to the C in terms of the corrective measures, the department developed a turnaround strategy, and subsequently a DG and CFO was employed. So the recommendation was from our report in terms of C that we needed that they should take heed of what the AG was saying and they should implement the recommendations. And I was saying in response, what was proposed is they came up with a turnaround strategy and they employed a DG and a CFO. In terms of D, this is the recommendations by the committee. The department should address concerns raised and recommendations made by the committee and expedite the implementation of its turnaround strategy and clearly outline its short, medium and long-term goals and timeframes in this regard that should be reported on accordingly. So the response in that regard for D on the right-hand column, which is on page 7, the top of the page. The department presented its quarterly report to the committee. However, the monthly report submissions to the committee as requested were not provided. In terms of E, the department should report to the committee on a monthly basis on progress made with regards to the implementation of the turnaround strategy to provide financial statements on a quarterly basis. I think my response is actually in relation to that, what I just noted now. About the yes, I did give a quarterly report, but in terms of the month report that was not provided. In terms of F, what the department, what the committee has recommended on page 6, last one, on the left-hand side, the department must provide the committee with all outstanding reports for the period under review that relate to initiatives within the core program by November 2012. Moreover, the committee requires the department to provide reports on the implementation of resolutions from conferences, workshops, campaigns, and progress in this regard. So the response, which you will find on page 7, on the right-hand column, is the department has indicated in its current annual report that the following were produced, namely the National Women's Campaign Report, the launch of Access to Education for All Children campaign.
You're reading G.
Okay. In total, 24 reports, publications to the committee as evidence of outputs that relate to 2012-13 and for 2013-14. However, there are few outstanding reports or publications that the committee awaits as per the correspondence sent to the department in terms of follow-up issues. Just to note, members, what I have done, that will be corrected. They have subsequently sent us two big red files. Based on the letter we sent there, they actually provided us all the information. So that I will correct now.
But at the time of drafting this report, did you have any?
I got the two.
Last year.
I only went through the two emails yesterday to cross check to see.
Yeah.
But we have what we asked, they sent us photocopies that need to be made. I'll just remove the last.
When you are saying that the Minister of Finance did not provide any response to the recommendations made by the committee that is here, isn't it you wrote a letter? Isn't it maybe would be right for you to say that you wrote a letter to the Minister? We are saying that you write a letter to the Minister requesting, you know, his response and also his
that the letter went off to the minister, but he did not respond to us. Did he respond? No, it should be included if he responded, but I haven't seen a response.
When the letter was written to National Street, the feedback given was that in terms of the recommendations, National Street didn't give any response to those recommendations because they indicated they were not directly aimed at National Street, so therefore they didn't respond. That was the response. So what we'll do is we'll directly take out of the letter in principle. Conferences, campaigns, and initiatives to the committee. And I think that is covered in terms of what they provided us to date and in the two-day files.
Department of Finance. On the left-hand column on page 7, Department's Internal Audit Committee must design an initial report within a month of the adoption of its report to indicate progress made in implementing AG recommendations. Thereafter, the committee requires the Internal Audit Committee to provide quarterly reports on outcomes of meetings held. In terms of A, the department did not adhere to the request. In terms of B, the recommendation by the committee seeks clarity regarding the awarding of performance bonuses, given that the department had only delivered on 20% of its targets. Moreover, the department should provide the committee with a detailed account of reasons for the exorbitant leave payouts, including who these were paid out to. In terms of B here, the information in the red file does speak to some of these issues, but I haven't had a chance to go through, because there was a specific request to detail the issues of HR, which they have done. So what I will note is information has been provided to the committee.
Just on that one.
I still don't understand. The minister gave us an explanation on that, on the performance bonus and leave pay out. And you must now rectify me if I'm wrong. What I understood from her is she said people that came over from other departments to her department would leave and performance bonuses were due, were paid out from Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. And then they were reimbursed. That's what she said. That is how I understood. If that is the case, it needs to reflect in their budget, because that money came from their budget, if I understand correctly. Though they were reimbursed, they must show here it came from, it was put out, and here is the income back into the budget. And I do not find that. I don't know if the deputy is a dear Macaris or what, but I was looking for that. If they paid out the leave or performance bonuses of those that came from other departments into this department that were due by the other, by their previous department, if Women, Children, People with Disabilities paid out those leave and performance bonuses, it was to reflect in their budget, because it went out of their coffers, and then they need to show where it came back again. I don't see that.
I don't know if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah, I hear what you are saying, but I can't say no or yes. I'm not sure. I don't know whether the researcher can assist.
I'm not responding to one of Honorable's questions directly, but I just want to reiterate what the minister indicated last time with regard to the performance award. For the year under review, then 2012-2013, the department has not paid any performance award. That's what the minister said, and it also reflects in page 125 of the annual report.
Consideration what came out of the previous year, the previous BRR report. In 2011-2012, my darling, that is exactly what I'm referring to. that was the year when performance bonuses were documented on the budget. Those were the ones that she said it's a printing error. Remember? And then eventually last week the minister said the only performance bonuses and termination of services that were paid were for those people coming from previous departments into her department which were due to be paid. And of which they were reimbursed again. But I can't pick it up anywhere that the money came in and that the money went out and came in.
I'm bringing it to your attention. I'm bringing it to your attention.
No, I do understand. The unfortunate part is that there is no way where we can trace this. Because even if you look at the report, it's not there.
It's not there. I'm just bringing it to your attention. Okay?
Okay, yeah, we do have the report, but nothing is reflected in that regard, 2011-2012. Can we proceed, please?
In terms of B, finance, page 7, the committee 6 clarity, I just covered that. C, send the recommendation, the next and columns for page 7. Given the aforementioned, the committee requires a detailed breakdown of what the additional funding source from National Treasury will be used for and to what extent this would aid Treasury performance with specific reference to wage, child rights and disability programs. In terms of C, the department has not overspent in 2012-13 fees, however it had incurred a 25.1 million rand unauthorized expenditure in 11-12. Which has not been condoned, as well as 35.5 million illegal expenditure in the same period. In terms of the finance, the department must guard against over expenditure in the future. In terms of Sobeys, the department has, during the course of 2012-13, received highlights from the committee that it had experienced funding challenges was in need of additional funding. However, it is important to note that during the 2012-13 period, the department underspent by 12.960. In terms of human resources, page 8. A, the department should finalize the human resource plan based on the approved budget, which should be implemented accordingly. The department, the progress, has worked on an amended HR structure. That's the progress. In terms of D, the department should include a career path in the human resource plan. The progress, the department indicated that it was in the process of doing a skills audit and will submit a report to the committee in this regard. In terms of C, department should speed up the process of improving the CFO, DG and other critical vacancies. The DG, in terms of progress, and CFO positions are subsequently filled. Lastly, in terms of program performance, the department should, as a matter of urgency, finalize their mainstreaming strategy, MLE framework and tools, which would assist other departments in implementing issues related to women, children and people with disabilities. The integrated monitoring and evaluation strategy, the mainstreaming framework, the advocacy strategy, as well as the individual support and capacity building will finalize and submit to the committee. So that in essence should provide us with a summary of the recommendations which the committee made in 2012 and what the progress was subsequently. Number 4, provide an overview and assessment of financial.
Can I find out from the committee any comments on from page 7?
Sorry, Chair.
Expenditure.
No.
Chairperson, my first question was, and it was answered, and I don't know if it's completely answered, because unfortunately those were very thick files. I saw them and nobody worked through it. None of the researchers had time enough to work through it. So I think I must just park my question until we know what is really in the file, because I don't know if it is in the file. And then, on the unauthorized expenditure, 25.1 million, and which has not been condoned, as well as 35.5 million irregular expenditure. I'm very worried about these amounts. And let me motivate why. Remember, I spoke on the 388,000 invoices that on which no payment was done. I'm worried about it here, because there is no rollover for that money-wise for those amounts of invoices, which is a hell of a lot of invoices, 388,000. And I think we need to draw attention to that, and I want to draw your attention specifically to that. What was then paid? What invoices were then paid by the department if 388,000 were not paid as a correct mentor? What happened to that money? Where has that funds gone? And will any of our activities or programs now be deemed to reimburse those payments that were not done in the new financial year, in this year? The backlog is so huge. We do not know what the amount tally is of 388,000, to what amount it comes to, who were not paid, why were they not paid. I'm really worried about that, because it can be a very huge amount here that is outstanding for this department. And every year they still get an additional amount of a couple of million. And yet they never run even here. Outstanding payments. Knowing that departments were asked to finalize their payments within 30 days. how do we balance the two? What is reaching here and the progress or the process or the challenge that the department responded to us in this book? So that's why I'm becoming confused here. It's like we have never had any interaction with the department. But as far as I know, we have, and some questions have been answered. And the very ones that the departments have answered are the ones that show up as if they have never said anything to us. So I really have a huge problem. How do we balance all what we are reading here and to the processes that and the engagements that we have been doing with the department? Because here we are respecting as if us as the committee, we haven't done anything with the department. And it's now at the end of the year. And I wonder if this is a true reflection that is in front of us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is actually not on any of these issues. I wanted to ask the researchers, I note from one of the annual reports that I've studied that they note in the introduction that as per the PMFA, for example, I'm talking about the MDDA, it says as per the PMFA regulations, they spend X amount on administration. Now, I'm just wondering whether... because I have looked at the PFMA, but I'm just thinking about the massive amount that this department, because it spends almost 50% of its budget on its administration, whether that is in line with PMFA regulations. If we could maybe look at that. I don't know, it's a offline question. It's just burning in my mind because I've looked at it and some other people are referring to PFMA regulations and how much they are allowed to spend on administration. And I'm just thinking that we should maybe check on that. Just as a off-site comment, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I cannot agree with the previous speaker. And I humbly really ask you to listen to what I have to say. Though the committee has explained, though the department has explained to this committee, we need to put these facts to Parliament. Parliament needs to know what is happening in this department. They do not know what was explained to us in committee. And this is just a report to alert Parliament to what was explained to us in the committee and what is actually out. You know, to incur 25.1 million unauthorized expenditure, it's a huge, huge problem to me. It's a huge problem, and I would like to have more detailed answers on this. And the same with the condonement of 35.5 million irregular expenditure. We are rated as the worst performing department in government, in any case. So I cannot agree with the previous speaker. I feel the way it is put here is 100% correct. We need to tell this to Parliament. We need to really alert Parliament to this.
Can I just add? Chairperson, I think we must be honest with ourselves. And the fact is that, yes, there has been improvement in the financial stability of this department. We must be honest to say that they have been able to stabilize themselves financially. But really to say that a target such as the target with the persons with disabilities that only reached 37.5% of their target. And I asked them repeatedly during our engagement, why did they fail to meet or why is the outcome of that program so low? And they had no answers. So yes, while we were able to give, we can give the department credit that it's been able to deliver on its financial obligations or that improved their financial performance. Many of the core programs, or actually many of the real core delivery issues they've not been able to achieve. So really to say that they've made a lot of progress, I would also beg to differ. Just want to add that.
Chairperson, can I just add quickly? And this is very important. This VRR report is going to reflect how this committee thinks and how they feel about or how we do our work. I can partly agree with what the honourable members say. My biggest worry still is the 388,000 outstanding payments.
We don't even know what the amount is. And I was going to ask, can they give us at least an indication of what this amount is? Then we'll know if they again overspent, irregular expenditure, or unauthorized expenditure. We still don't know. It can be 1 million. It can be 100 million, the outstanding payments. Because we still don't know what it is. It's just summarized. Yeah, 388,000 outstanding payments. And then if we have such a lot of outstanding payments, my argument is still why? And what has then been paid out of the status perhaps whatever they had?
I couldn't answer any further because I want to know what I mean. One could not say that while they're in the chief and they're going to put a camera on. Because I don't really care.
I'm confused where to sit. It's like we are it's at the beginning of the post parliament. But it's like we are at that stage. Why I'm saying this is because we have been having interaction with the department. Why are these questions coming today? We had the department here. Why didn't you ask it? Where is the department now? Does it mean now we have to come, go back and coordinate another meeting with them? The AG was here. Who showed you a report? Who left the a specialist, I can say, in the finance matters? He was here. He gave the department an unqualified opinion. Why didn't you bring those arguments when the AG was here? When the AG is not here, who is expected to answer? I'm confused, Chair, because it's like this portfolio committee hasn't been doing anything. We have made interventions, we have called the AG, we have called the FFC, we have called everything. The department has given us their side. So I don't know what is this report all about. It's like we are starting in the first quarter of the fourth parliament. So let us get clarity. And I still maintain, Chair, I want to know the answers that the department has accounted on, the issues that the department have accounted on, where are they reflected in this thing? Where are they reflected? Because it reflects us as a committee that we have only been noticing worst thing happening, and we never came up with an intervention strategy, which we have done. And we have the Auditor General who actually gave us the side of his financial side, so I don't know what are we. I'm really confused.
Can you allow me to speak now? We have been asking for the I'll come next to
you. Chairperson, it would be like to what the previous witness said.
No, but you are repeating yourself. She has said this before, and you have recorded.
I'm thinking, Chairman,
I just want to say something now on what the honourable member is saying. Remember, there were questions that I've asked the AG, and the AG also, even the fiscal finance commissioners, said that it will be best to ask the department the questions. I've got a list here in my book. I did that. But remember too that last week when I put the question of the 388,000 unpaid invoices, the department said it was not paid because it did not come in on time. And I also wanted to know if the money was rolled over. They said no. And because of that, I want you to take note that again we have a vacuum of in the department of invoices that were not paid. They do not have the finances for that. If the money was kept somewhere, or if the money was sent back, or if they need to pay it out of their budget, how are they ever going to do it, Chair? It's logical that you will not be able to pay to make payments on these invoices.
Lucy, no, I'm definitely not the Chair, not I know at the best of times we need to find a middle ground. And in terms of Honourable Tsaki asking where do we reflect, for all the sections that follow, that details progress in terms of finances. This table here, which is the summary, if I actually look at that recommendation, the finance A, in terms of what is, we didn't come up with this, the committee came up with, if a member has to ask me, Tasha, where's the report a month later? At that moment in time, we didn't get the report. Yes, they've established an internal audit committee, and they explained that that needed more capacity. But for this, if I just read the recommendation as is, I can't say, yes, Ms. Clarke, there is a report in that instance. But to acknowledge what you're saying, in terms of the response for internal audit, what we can indicate under A is, subsequently, in terms of the establishment of the internal audit committee, the department has ensured that systems are in place to reinforce this management control. But in terms of that specific recommendation for what the committee has asked, I can't give you that report. We don't have it. So what I could do in terms of A, in terms of your input, is to say the department has established an internal audit committee to ensure that issues pertaining to risk management is improved. Would that cover A, in terms of progress and response for internal audit?
Some of the questions we are not going to be able to respond to. And I think when time comes from the debate, the members are entitled to raise their own findings according to how they understand the report. But also for members to come here and ask us about the PFMA, when members know exactly what the PFMA is saying about unauthorized expenditure. Because if it comes to that, I think even the question itself could have been relevant when asked to the Auditor General. So if we are not sure about what we should be doing, I think we can still go back, or if we have a PFMA, to look at the PFMA to say what is it that we, because I know that the minister is the head of the department, and anything that take place in the department, the minister is accountable, even according to the PFMA. So I think members, while some of the questions are really genuine, I would propose that we don't sit on page 7. We know if we have views, we've got the right to raise those views, but if we want to say further things on those, we are entitled to do that. When we do our when we go and debate in the house. Secondly, matters that are raised here. I think I want to agree that here we are responding to matters that were raised, but questions were asked to the minister, to the department. And what about those responses? What about the responses? Because they were not here in vain. They were here, unless you say they were not able to respond to this question. But I don't see this should be coupled by the response that the minister gave, because they did respond. If something is not satisfactory to us, it's okay, but the response must be reflected, because that is a true reflection of what is said.
Chairperson? Is it expected of all parties to sign off this report before it goes to Parliament? Is it expected of all parties to agree or to sign off on this report before it goes to Parliament?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry,
Chairperson, I was just thinking a lot about the PFMA versus, I was just trying to get to the nut of the matter of whether there is a limit on how much departments can spend on administration. So it wasn't that I wanted to derail the process. I was actually thinking about it a long time, but I can direct the question to another avenue, so I didn't really want to derail it. I just know that I've been thinking about it, that there should be a cap on how much departments can spend on administration, and in the light of the fact that we had raised before the issue of the amount of millionaires this department has got and the salaries that they are paying, whether that, you know, in light of that, one cannot look. But I will direct my question either to the Auditor General's office, or I'll speak to some of our colleagues that sit on the Finance Portfolio Committee. So I didn't want to derail us, I apologize.
Nothing much you can do with regard to unauthorized credit. It is a department.
and there's nothing that they do. But I think the concern that was raised is the impact that is going to have on the current financial year. So it is like that, we can't change it. The C. But the D, the other expenditure, I think it was also explained how we arrived, you know, at the under expenditure.
So that it is like we have interacted with those people and they have given us answers.
What the chairperson?
The only thing Kashi has to put is that this was also reiterated by the AFC and by the AG.
Yeah.
But as it stands there, it is 100% correct. And it is true. We as a committee, we can't change it. We as a committee on several occasions alerted the department to this and nothing happened.
Change to say, according to the Auditor General of Africa and the Financial Fiscal Commission, noted that the department had incurred 25.1 million unauthorized expenditure in 2011, which had not yet been condoned, as well as 35.5 million illegal expenditure in the same period. So in terms of the under expenditure, the department explained that this was attributed to vacancies that were not filled. Can I just get the correct wording so that it's a reflection not from me but from the committee? I'm putting exactly what Ms. Clarke wants in. The department, in terms of D, after the analyst fees, the department explained, I'm putting, it's not written there, I'm typing it in, explained that this was attributed to, the word was some vacancy. Is that it? Do I need to add anything else?
Something that the money they got the allocation somewhere around November, December.
Yeah.
So that's why it made it difficult for the department to appoint in the money.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
I think out of the whole COVID analysis here, I'm a little bit dumb. I don't know dumb or dumb, I don't know. You know, we're asking questions here. I can even recall, I asked a question of the understanding. The minister explained, and she explained and explained. And I want to come into this question that Honorable Slake is already involved. She even mentioned it at last, that they couldn't spend because it was during the December. Yeah. So I wanted to check this. Nana with us or Kashifa. These responses from the minister must not reflect here in this column. Because to me, it makes no sense that we ask questions in the meeting and those questions, those responses are not reflected. That is my, I don't understand. Because to me, here, it seems as if we are raising the same issues that we were raised in the day with the Department of Health. And there's no responses on the issues that we raised. I don't know. I'm a little bit confused. I don't know.
Thank you. That's the purpose of our meeting. This report isn't final. It's a draft.
Yeah.
Between Crystal, Lorenzo, and myself, we spent weeks doing this analysis. if there's a word missing or a sentence missing, it's not because we're being deliberate. Today's my Christmas. I saw my family for 15 minutes. I worked the whole of last night and the whole of today. If there's anything that's not there, I mean, that's the beauty of all three of us being here. We can cross-check, we can add in. It's not that this is the final thing. We've worked really hard on this, and we're asking of the committee members, if you have input, we're more than welcome to take it in, but that's why we get guidance, that's why we have the session. So if, in terms of the last one, the department explained that it was attributed to some vacancies, which have yet to be filled, and the allocation is given in December, hence, appointments could not be made over the Christmas period.
One question, okay? Let me just come in here. You know, one can never wait and have an excuse to say it's now Christmas or December. You cannot appoint or vacancies cannot be filled. That's what happens. That alerts me to a department that is not properly organized and where leadership, and you know, leadership, the leadership issue came up several times, where leadership is really lacking. Because you know what you are, what you will be needing, and you need to provide prior to the D-Date, my darling. That's number one. Number two, I sincerely appreciate what the researchers are doing. But I am not prepared to sit here, to just scrutinize things, finalize things in an hour or two to go home. All the other committees are working long hours, and I think it's the only day that we also have to show what we as a committee are worth and to give a proper report, to speak.
That's exactly what we are going to do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we are going to do, because that is why I said we want to do a good job out of this report.
Yeah.
We are not just going to run over this.
Yeah.
And the other reason, I don't know whether you mentioned it, of the understanding. They also mentioned the fact that they received money late. Which one was it? Did you also spoke to that? Yeah. In addition to the vacancies. Yeah. Okay, you'll come in after.
Member Parliament. Is it me?
person, because you know in the other committees,
yeah, because you know, for example, in other portfolio committees, and I know that all works very hard, but we get it, and then you sort of go through it, you make your amendments, and you bring it back. It's easier that way, because then you can apply your mind, because now you see it for the first time. You apply your mind to what you want to add.
And do that to give every member an opportunity to go through even the information, some of the information that we are asking, we might be able to get it through, you know, the study of the report. So,
for example,
members, are we agreeing to the proposal?
Yes, we're not going to do it now.
Pardon?
Is that what you're saying to? Are we going to complete the draft?
No. What draft? No, we're taking the draft so that when we come back with it, it's finalized. That's not what they're saying.
No, because what I'm trying to say is you might now be thinking that you wanted to add X, Y, and Z, and you find that now it's actually on the last two pages. I'm just saying, I think we've now in a process where we're not sure what's following. So you might be thinking that you're missing X, Y, and Z, but it's on page 22 or 22.
Okay.
So I'm saying that's why I think members must look at the report, apply their mind, make notes of what they think is missing, and then bring it back to the committee.
Tomorrow we're coming back, and tomorrow we must adopt the report if we agree on it. What are we saying?
It would have been better if we come here with our suggestion, having read it. Because now I see that we're going to spend 40 minutes on each point. I'll be guided by you, Chair.
Can I suggest that we proceed the way we
Now I want you to agree with the fact that some of us have just received the report. And because we want to do 100% on this report, we must be given an opportunity to go and work on it, and then come back with subtractions and additions, so that in that way it can I think speedy the process.
Let's proceed and let's just fill in the gap, because this is a draft, and you know, if we come back tomorrow, it's going to be another draft, because there will be amendments to the draft.
So are we saying if Kashifa take us through, we just listen to Kashifa taking us through and not discuss? Is that what we are saying? Just note down until she finishes.
Yeah.
The report.
And then discuss the audit.
Agreed.
No doubt.
Chair. Sorry. There was a proposal that was made by Honorable Kony to say where does the minister's responses come into this. So I don't know whether we should put that in packet sense. When you come back tomorrow with the homework.
The homework for researchers to go and get the information, but even from our side, we can bring that information so that it is
get clarity. Will the department, will the minister respond? I didn't use the word minister. I said the department. So are you looking for the word minister?
No. It should be the department.
The department.
department. Okay. So in actual fact, I also didn't use, like, I didn't say the department responded to it. I would say the department has worked on, or the department has implemented. So that is how, in terms of the response, I responded. But if I had to change all the words to say the department responded to, would that to give the indication that the responses are actually, yeah, I just didn't use the word response in minister. I referred to the department.
But the department, the response is taken.
Yeah.
Is that how it should be?
What?
If that is how it should be. Yeah. The department gives the response. What do you say, Shane?
Must have gone to the department.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because when you say the department, the
DG
is from the department, the
minister
from the department.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll have to want us to say this one from this committee and that one from that committee first said this and that and that. The committee says, we speak on behalf of the committee.
Mm.
Can you please proceed?
Can
you please proceed, Chief?
The first time that we come up with this issue in the BRRR.
We have always raised the issue to say the department responded. Why is it left out and it was added? So it's not a new thing.
So if the wording doesn't fit me too, I will not sign off on the report. Exactly, that is our winning way now. If the wording must now be specifically as certain of our members don't want to understand. Let's take the middle road as the researchers have put it to us. There's nothing wrong with it. Then you
to you, to you. So don't speak for others. You are speaking for yourself. It's your views. Those are your views. So let us not deny other people to express their views. And at the end of the day, we'll cross the river when we get there.
Because truly, Chair, I'm not going to allow a one-sided report. I can assure you that.
We are not going to remove what actually happened in the department, especially in the annual report. We are not going to really run away from what has happened. The true facts must be there. But what also happened in the committee must be reflected.
It can be resolved. It can be resolved anytime. It can be resolved right now if there's a valid reason for it to be resolved. And it's my also
if this committee cannot acknowledge what it has done,
then it's not about what the committee has done, it's about what the department is not doing.
Number four. Overview and assessment of financial performance. The section provides an overview and assessment of reported financial performance between 2012-13 and 2013-14, as well as projected financial needs of areas needing improvement in terms of spending 2014-15 in DSP years. So the first table is the overview of both allocation and spending. And this has come out based on what is presented in the annual report. In terms of 4.2, financial performance for 2012-13, looking at quarterly spending trends, adjustments for 2012-13, post-adjustment borrowing, final and total and program expenditure. Again, all of the information that comes now was discussed and briefed with members. It came from the annual report analysis. So all the information here is exactly from what Crystal, Lorenzo, and myself have put together. On page 9, deposit final appropriation for the 2012-13 financial year was 192.849 million, of which it spent 179.889 as at 30 March 2013. Leaving the department with 12.96 million in annual expenditure. That's the program expenditure. So it gives you an overview for each program, admin, wage, child rights, and rights of persons with disabilities. The positive point about the presented statements are that the department did not incur any overspending like in the previous financial year, where it incurred 22.714 million in overspending. At the same time, it is critical to spend the entire allocation as much as possible, as it would benefit the department's cause in justifying why its allocation from treasury is small. The department has provided reasons for the underspending per program. These are as follows: administration, delays in filling of vacancies, relation to spending on machinery and equipment, delay was in determining security tender amount, which led to the underspending of the allocated funds for this year. The wage under expenditure was the result of the non-alignment of the compensation for employees budget structure, together with the vacancy of director M&EN branch coordinator. Child rights under expenditure occurred because of the non-alignment of the compensation for employees budget with the structure, delays in the appointment of a service provider for the editing, design, and printing of the UN Children's Rights Committee and the AU Children's Rights Committee report. In terms of the rights of persons with disabilities, under expenditure was experienced in this program due to the non-alignment of the compensation of employees' budget, the structure and the fact that the position for Chief Director, Advocacy, Mainstreaming, Branch Coordinator is still vacant.
relation to goods and services. This program had an under expenditure of 600,000 due to delays in appointing the service provider to conduct the baseline study for public servants, students in public universities, leadership programs, and people with disabilities. So in actual fact, if we look at the issues of, this is all the details, and it's rather difficult to put all of this in that table above. So the information is there. Moving on to page 10, it is evident from all the justifications given for the reason for under expenditure that it relates to work which the department has not done in the stipulated annual performance plan time. This in itself should be balanced and taken into consideration in relation to the performance of the department with an increase in budget the department is necessary and justified. With respect to donor funding, the total donor funding received was 3.541 million. As can be viewed from this pie chart, UNFCA, UN Women and UNICEF contributed to most of the activities in the department in the form of a gift, sponsorship or donation. In total, these UN agencies contributed towards 51 out of 33 activities of the department. JICA and CVSR donated only towards one activity each. JICA is the Japanese International Corporation Agency, which consists of funding from the Japanese taxpayers. Donor funds were also used towards school activities of the department for which they received allocation for from treasury. The department does not indicate how the funding received from a donor contributed towards the completion and impact of this activity, and this was directly from the annual report. Because in the annual report in terms of donors, they did list all the donors and the amounts, but they didn't provide analysis or a paragraph of explanation in relation to each. Even though the department does not deliver services for women, children, and people with disabilities, it does have an advocacy and mainstreaming mandate, and they could have advocated that donors spend their funds on NGOs delivering these services as opposed to assisting the department with implementing its mandate when it does have funds to implement its mandate. Program 1, Administration. The purpose of this program is to provide effective leadership, management, and administrative support services to the minister and other branches in the department. I think just before I go on to that, in terms of that red file they gave the committee, they have given us more info in terms of donors. So what I could include there is the department has provided the committee with more detailed information with respect to donor funds. Would that be okay? What I've noted under donor funds is that the department has subsequently provided the committee with more information in this regard. I can't give you the details about that because it just came, I just saw the file yesterday.
Yeah, it was just me writing to this red file.
Chairperson, may I ask that issues such as this, can they please just list that?
I'm buying your old boxing gloves for Christmas.
Page 10. Program 1, administration. The purpose of this program is to provide effective leadership, management, and administrative support services to the minister and other branches in the department. The objective is to provide comprehensive effective leadership, management, and governance support to ensure that the goals and objectives of the department are effectively executed. The department aims to achieve these objectives through the following sub-programs, mainly ministry, management, core programs, which includes corporate service and office management. And remember, this section focuses on financing. So in terms of administration, financial information, for the period 2012-13, there was a final appropriation of 85,203 and actual under expenditure of 80 and under expenditure of 509,003. And just to repeat that, in 2012 the program received 34.183 million, which represented 29% of its money. Program 2. The purpose of this program is to facilitate national and international instruments into empowerment and socio-economic development programs, as well as overseeing and reporting comprehensively on the national legislation of women's rights and progressive realization of equality. The main strategic objective of this program aims to maintain women's empowerment and gender equality considerations into government policies and government processes, monitor and evaluate the mainstreaming of women's empowerment and gender equality considerations into government policies and processes, and coordinate institutional support and capacity development programs. The department aims to achieve these objectives through three sub-programs: policy and planning for gender equality, mainstreaming capacity development, and monitoring and evaluation. The department received 64.629 million for financial year 11-12, and 55.15 million will be transferred to the Commission for Gender Equality. In terms of the financial information for which programs allocated 79.502 million, however, 59.202 million of this amount constitutes transfer payment to the Commission for Gender Equality, leaving the program with an operating budget of approximately 20 million. If we go on to page 12, program 2, allocation and expenditure, and this just gives you an overview of the wage program. So again, that total final appropriation was 20, the actual expenditure was 80, and there was an under expenditure of 1930. In terms of children's rights and responsibilities, the purpose of the program is to ensure the realization of children's rights and responsibilities by providing leadership and support planning, coordination, and oversight over the reporting comprehensively on children's rights policies and legislation over the MTF, developing and maintaining the children's rights and responsibilities monitoring and evaluation framework over the MTF period, participating in sectoral coordination, and in country children's rights forums over the years. In terms of the financial information, the Children's Rights and Responsibilities Program was allocated 35.7 million over the MTF period and 9.6 million for the 11-12 financial year. The department has identified three sub-programs, namely policy and planning, mainstreaming, and monitoring and evaluation. And again, Table 4, which is on the top of page 30, gives you an overview of the allocation and expenditure for child rights. So the total that was appropriated was 13,025, the actual expenditure was 9,205, there was an under expenditure of 3.820. The first point to note is the fact that the program is underspent by 3.820 million. Be that as may, the program has achieved quite a remarkable number of its performance indicators within the budget and actual expenditure of the program. Therefore, it would be useful to show the impact donor funding on the output of performance indicators of the program, the impact of donor funding.
terms of program 4, the rights of people with disabilities, the purpose of this program is to facilitate the translation of national and international instruments into empowerment and socioeconomic development programs, and to oversee and comprehensively report on the realization of the rights of people with disabilities to equality. The program has the following three sub-programs: advocacy and mainstreaming, institutional support and capacity building, and M&E. In terms of the rights of persons with disabilities program, in terms of the financial information, again, as with all the other programs, the top of page 14, for program 4 gives you an overview of the allocation and expenditure. So the total was 15,119. The actual expenditure was 13,002. And there was an under expenditure of 2,117. If one compares the outputs achieved to the budget spent for this program, it becomes a concern. Out of the 15 performance indicators, only 5 were achieved. That makes a total of 33 performance achieved for this program. Yet the program spent 85.9% of its budget. The department is to give justifiable reasons as to the deviation of program expenditure versus the actual outcome of the performance indicators. I think in this, in terms of the last sentence, if I remove that, here we could give an indication of the department noted that in terms of the performance of this program, I'm not quite sure. If I think back, what the actual reason was that the department gave us as to why the disability program didn't perform, because they actually had more staff compared to child rights. But the child rights actually was able to do more. So I'm not sure in terms of response for disability what we could indicate there. So what I have so far, I removed the last sentence and noted. The department noted in terms of the performance of this program, I think that is where I've got some input from the members.
The main reasons for deviation, what were the reasons for deviation from the program?
I highlighted that. In terms of 4.2.2, that is the results report on funding situation in the report to the general. The DG provided a very detailed and accurate report on the state of finances in the department. There are two important things of note. The department incurred irregular expenditure to the value of 6.12 million. The DG said that that part of it was as a result of awarding contract to supply without valid original tax clearance certificates and due to irregular appointments made in the previous financial year. She further states that the irregular expenditure will be investigated and remedial actions will be taken. The department inherited a debt of 3 million from previous office on the status of disabled people. The Auditor General of South Africa gave the department an unqualified audit for the financial year. This is progress in relation to previous audits undertaken by the Auditor General. However, the AG did note important observations with regard to governance and internal control of funds within the department. Some of the important points mentioned by the AG are as follows. The AG mentioned that 36 targets, 50% of the entire 119, were not achieved by the department. The AG mentioned that the reason for this was because the targets were not suitably developed during the strategic planning process. Portfolio Committee had on a continual basis cautioned the department against setting performance indicators which are not strategic and or smart. The AG found that the statement now on page 15, that the statements submitted for auditing were not fully prepared as the prescribed requirement by the TFMA Act. In addition, the Auditor General stipulated that the material misstatements were found, which were subsequently corrected after the submission thereof. In relation to internal control, AG made the following point, that no sufficient monitoring controls exist to ensure compliance with laws and regulations. No daily and monthly controls were in existence to ensure complete and accurate financial statements. Even though the internal audit unit was established, it was not adequately resourced and did not function as intended. In terms of procurement and contract management, the following was noted. Within services with a transaction value below 500,000 was withdrawn without obtaining site quotations. Instances where quotations were awarded to size, tax matters have not been declared by some. These are extremely important observations by the Auditor General, which should have been assessed by the turnaround strategy of the department. Next is the Financial Fiscal Commission. The FFC concurred with the findings of the OAG and also highlighted the following. The unauthorized expenditure in amount of 25.1 million in 2011-12, and this amount was not yet condoned. The department did not, however, incur any unauthorized expenditure in 2012-13. Irregular expenditure in amount of 35.5 million rand irregular expenditure was reported in 2011-12. No reasons were cited by the department in the annual report. Currently, investigations are underway regarding 6.1 million rand irregular expenditure incurred in the 2012-13 financial year. Part of it as the result of suppliers awarded contracts with outside a regional tax clearance certificate. And the FSC made the following recommendation, and have a direct reading of the Department of Women, Children and Disabilities, namely, A, assessing gender responsive budgeting in the local government sphere in South Africa. National and provincial government should, as I require, gender budgeting in a few municipalities, ensure that gender planning is institutionalized in municipal integrated development plans by sector, provide gender budgeting good tactics, guides, and toolkits, provide guidelines for collecting disaggregated data. In terms of local government should, institutionalize gender responsive budgeting services linked to IDPs, bulk capacity for gender mainstreaming, and gender responsive budgeting at the local level, ensure gender responsive appropriations and budget allocations, and ensure gender sensitive public participation and consultation at local level. In terms of economic and social value and social grants, the recommendation from the FSC was the National Treasury provide advice to departments and agencies working with children on developing major cross portfolio initiatives aimed at eliminating child poverty to date. A range of child poverty measures have been accommodated and scattered across many agencies, but these should be nested within a new unified outcome framework of related agencies because of synergies and related programs. So what I noted previously in terms of the AG and FFC, this came directly from what they presented to the committee. Just in keeping with issues of responses, what I could include in the just after B is with respect to the issues raised by the Auditor General and the FFC, the department responded in the following, and then just list some of the issues that they indicated. Would that be fine? In 4.2, the AG and FFC, the headings were what did the AG say and what did the FFC say. So in terms of responses by ministers, what I could put at the bottom of that is, because I would say the department, in light of what was raised by the AG and FFC, responded by, and I can just list what they had said. Financial performance for 2013-14, and again, this came based on the first quarter report that the department had given the committee. So overall financial performance, the Total budget for the year 1340 is 198.312 million, including the Commission on Gender Equality. The actual expenditure for the first quarter is 37.507 million. Department spent 19% of the first quarter for the 2013-14 financial year. Department planned budget projections for 49.76 million for the first quarter of 1340. Now the actual expenditure amounted to 67.507 million, representing a positive variance of 12.261 million. 75% of the planned budget for the quarter. This came directly from what the department presented to the council. So program 1 had a planned budget projection of 25.003 million, of which spent 19.417, which amounts to 78%. An under expenditure of 5.586 million was incurred. In terms of sub-programs, the ministry overspent by 126% as compared to management, which was 62, corporate services 72, and office accommodation. The latter underspent by more than half of the allocated budget. The actual expenditure of 1.403 million against the planned budget of 3.318 million. In terms of the financial performance for Program 2, which is wage, the overall budget for wage is 82.9 million for the 13-14 financial year. It should be noted that the transfer payment for the Commission for Gender Equality amounts to 63.1 million, constituting 76.12% of this program budget. The wage program therefore has an operating budget of 19.8 million. For 13-14. By the end of quarter one, which is April to June 2013, a total of 3.8 million of the program budget has been spent. A total of 3.9 million has been budgeted for program two for quarter one. The program has therefore spent 97.4% of its budget for the first quarter, and not 72% as indicated in the documentation sent. The amount reflected in the documents included CGE transfer payments. Are not accurate reflection of the program's operating budget. I think here the indication was that when we look at wage, it's not just about the CG, because that gives a clear impression as to what the wage program itself is spending, because part of it that is a transfer. So in terms of program 3, child rights, the allocated budget for this program for the first quarter of the financial year was 1.97. Out of this allocated budget, 1.604 million was spent. This means that the department has only spent 81% of the budget for this quarter. When compared to the goals achieved, it would seem correct. However, the goal that was not achieved did not need 19% of the budget to achieve it. In fact, it has needed much less. Therefore, the department has to report on why it underspent on this program on achieving most of the cost of goals. I think the last one I'm going to take out and just indicate what the department had noted in terms of response. So, since the where I am, page 17, the financial performance of program 3, the third bullet, in terms of the expenditure, I'll highlight there and insert what the department's response was. On bullet 4, still on child rights, the spending for this program was verified and confirmed by National Treasury in its report on spending for the department in the first quarter. A further observation made by Treasury is in line with the underspending for this program. In this regard, Treasury stated that the department spent 25% less during the first quarter compared to the first quarter of the previous financial year. They said that the reason for this is because of a delay in the filling of vacancies and slower and spending on goods and services. So on page 17, looking at the financial performance of program 4, this program has total planned budgeted projection of 3.026 million. The actual expenditure is 2.188. an annual expenditure of 836,000. Therefore, program 4 has spent 72% of its budget or for the first quarter, not for the first quarter. Second bullet point, still on disability. The annual expenditure for this program remains consistent, which is a concern. The department explained previously to the committee that for 2011 trial, there was an annual expenditure for this program, which was attributed to human resource shortages as well as limited financing in order to achieve the planned activities. I'll remove the last sentence and again indicate what the department's response was in this regard. I'll say the department noted that and I'll include the department's response. So with disability, page 17, the last bullet. I'll include what the department has said as to why disability and unemployment. In terms of 4.4, it was for the 2014-15 financial allocation. In terms of the last sentence, I'll indicate what the department had noted.
Okay. Just the last sentence. Just the last sentence of
the department has indicated that additional funding is required for the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. Moreover, the department maintains that the structure of the department was based on salary scales of the offices previously located within the presidency, namely the Office on the Rights of the Child, Office of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and the Office of the Status of Women. This has negatively impacted the department being resourced adequately, and until this is addressed, the department maintains it will continue to face funding challenges. Hence, the department intends submitting a revised human resource structure to the Department of Public Service and Administration for consideration. So for 4.4, it's a combination of what the minister said, told us, a response, and what was in the annual report. So the response is included as the department had indicated. I just need to know, maybe for 4.4, this is what I've captured and recorded for what the minister noted, what additional funding is required for the council. And it was in relation to the human resource structure, because the key concern was it was based on the offices in the OSC in the presidency, and that needed to be changed. So therefore they were going to submit a design to human resource structure. Concluding comments on the financial performance. Just a summary of all financial issues. The committee concurs with the findings of the AG and the SSC that made the relevant recommendations in this regard. Furthermore, the committee is acutely aware of the scourge of gender-based bias in the country. The challenges pertaining to gender mainstreaming from a child's perspective and disability mainstream. Adequate resources are required to undertake effective monitoring and evaluation in this regard. Moreover, resources have to be utilized optimally to ensure the desired outcomes are achieved. So, in summary, I've just taken and listened to what the committee has said and said we would concur with the AG and the FFC. The committee noted that gender-based violence is a problem in small families and that mainstreaming is important, and for that to happen, we have to have adequate resources. But again, for 4.5, if there's anything else for addition, we could include or change or amend. In terms of 5, overview and assessment of service delivery performance. So here, it looks at program issues. So the section above, number 4, is all the financing. What follows on is a commentary around the target. So overall performance for this table reflects the targets achieved and not achieved. For achieved is administration 50, wage 14, child type 30, rights of disability 6, and the total 83. So there were a total of 118 targets. The bullet point just below that. Targets achieved was 83, targets not achieved was 55, and the department has achieved 60% of the performance targets set for 2012-13 financial year. In terms of program 1, administration, and again, all of this information was contained in the annual report which was presented to the committee by the division and was deliberated on. Program 1, we've gone through the purpose. In terms of, I'm on the last page, page 18, the last paragraph. The department aims to achieve these objectives through the following sub-programs. In terms of the ministry, it provides fiscal leadership to the department to promote good inclusive society. I think here we're just stating what the aims and objectives of each team. So we list management, which is now on page 19, the four program corporate service and office management. In terms of a view of administration's performance for 2012-2030, what this program highlights, what this table highlights, is targets not achieved. In terms of in-year monitoring implemented, department indicates that they have achieved their targets in relation to the implementation of in-year monitoring mechanisms. However, the Auditor General highlights that the targets that the department has not met. In terms of lack of compliance policies and prescripts, financial control mechanisms, no risk assessment register and operational risk assessment reports, and no functional M&E system developed. This is the second line of still looking at administration. And in terms of the concern, the lack of adequate financial control mechanisms and risk mitigation measures impact on the department's financial performance. What I will do is take out all the questions. I think again here, where the department has responded, I could put in a column on the right and indicate the department's responses and then just list those. So how I can amend this table, review and administration program, I'll add in a separate column on the right hand side and note departmental responses. No, no, I'm noting the concerns, but in terms of what was in the annual report, that was the target not achieved, this was the concern, and then the column I'll add in on the far right and is the department's response in relation to what was stated in the annual report. So for each of those things, we'll go back and see what the department says in relation to each of those talks over and above what was said in the annual report. Page 20, in terms of Program 2, Women Empowerment and Gender Equality. The purpose of the WEDGE program is to facilitate the translation of national and international commitments into empowerment and socioeconomic development programs and to oversee and report comprehensively on the national realization of women's rights and the best realization of equality. And then the department aims to achieve these objectives through three sub-programs. I think I just need to insert that. So in terms of the review of women's empowerment and gender equality performance for 2012-13, the department has achieved 14 of the 17 targets it had set for this program in 2012-13. I'm still on page 20. The view on women and the wage performance for 2012-13. Under that, we see the department achieved 14 of the 17 targets. So for objective one, the target that was not achieved was the new growth path in genderness, advocate for participant allocation for the job fund. Again, what I will do is insert a column that a row below that to say department response. In terms of objective two, the targets that were not achieved was the 12 gender audit reports submitted and the 5 reports on compliance to national commitment. Here again, I'll insert a row that indicates the department's response. Program 3, we saw on page 20, children's rights and responsibilities. The following table identifies the indicators and targets set out to achieve these program objectives. Next is the review on children's rights and responsibility performance for 2012-13. So for this program, child rights and responsibilities, we're now looking at the table. The first table, it is objective one, to maintain children's rights, considerations, and to govern policies and governance practices. Targets not achieved, none. The department to see indicates, I think, year. What I will do, as I did with the others, is to insert another column to indicate what the department's response was. Evaluate the mainstreaming of children's rights considerations into government policies and governance processes. Here, I'll also indicate the department's response. On children's rights, objective 3, to provide institutional support and capacity building for the mainstreaming of children's rights and well-being into government policy and programs, civil society and the private sector. Targets not achieved on the left-hand column is the child-free initiatives, community initiatives for the realization of children's rights facilitated and coordinated through 3 municipalities and the institutional framework developed. Concerns with the department's type of national plan of action for children as an achievement for the child training facility. This is confusing as the department in its quarterly report for the financial period indicated that this performance indicator was not met. Again, here for both of them, I'll insert department's response. For all the things that's not achieved and concerned, that basically came directly out of the annual report. What is written there. So finishing up with children's rights, after the table, the program has achieved quite a remarkable number of its performance indicators within the budget and actual expenditure of the program. And then I'll take out the last sentence as the issue of donor funding has been covered for us in the read file. Moving on to D, program for the rights of people with disabilities. The view on the rights of people with disabilities progress forward for 2012-13. The first objective was advocacy and mainstreaming to promote the rights of people with disabilities. The target not achieved with the National Disability Policy published, the Universal Access Strategy, and the SA Country Plan of Africa Decade. What I will do again here is to insert department's response. The next objective, which is objective 2 of program 4, to monitor and evaluate the mainstreaming of disability considerations into government policies and governance processes. Target not achieved to the 4 on the left. Number of reports on access to education for children and young people with disabilities compiled. The number of M&E reports on access to employment and economic opportunity for people with disabilities. 2 reports on participation by people with disabilities in rural development programs compiled. And disability considerations integrated into all government M&E systems. What I will do again, as I did with the others, is to take up a question and insert a row that notes what the department's response was. In terms of objective 3, still with disability, around institutional support and capacity development for equal access and opportunities for people with disabilities. Target not achieved, there were 3. 2, institutional support interventions to facilitate equal access to employment and economic empowerment. Opportunities for people with disabilities coordinated. Strategy for mainstreaming of disability considerations in integrated public service delivery coordinated. The institutional framework developed. Concerns as a full performance indicator for this objective has not been achieved, and the department to give urgent attention to this. I will insert a row which indicates the department's response. Following on from that, if one compares the output achieved the budget spend for this program, it becomes a concern. Out of the 15 performance indicators, only 5 were achieved. That makes a total of 33 performance achieved for this program. Yet the program spent 85.9% of its budget. The department is, what I'll do is I'll remove the last sentence and indicate the department's response. Service delivery performance for 13-14. 5.2.1, the quarterly performance assessment. The department achieved just over half of its target, 14 out of 26, for the first quarter. The table gives an overview of program 1 to 4 in terms of targets that were achieved and not achieved as percentages in relation to each. The working relationship between the various programs in the department is not very explicit, and as such, it's difficult to ascertain whether the deliverable cited were distributed to joint venture between the respective programs. For example, the audit of special schools, program 1 and 4. It is unclear to how the department ensures collaboration and partnership between all 4 of the programs in order to avoid duplication and utilize scarce resources. Annual performance plan for 2013-14 outlines 2 strategic objectives and related key performance indicators, all of which have been reported on by the department with reference to first quarter of 2013-14. Each key objective means the relevant key objectives briefly discussed hereafter. So essentially, essentially what follows on is looking at each performance indicator and whether it was achieved or not. All of this has previously been presented to the committee, which has been captured exactly how it was presented. Program 1A, overview of progress for quarter 1 in 2013-14. Number of internal audit reports issued on the year, 3-year rolling plan. This KPE was not achieved. The department was expected to develop a 3-year rolling plan alongside an internal audit report of the plan. However, the plan was to be submitted to the audit committee on 27 July 2013. Percentage of management action plan followed up and verified. The KPI was not achieved. The department indicated that the follow-up audits were not done in the first quarter as there were outstanding tasks from the previous financial year that to be completed. The next target, percentage of deviation expenditure against allocated funding. This KPI was not achieved. The department indicated that the projections were not in line with the operational plan. Fourth bullet point, percentage of reduction of vacancy rate. This KPI was not achieved. The department indicated that there were 7 new appointments and 4 terminations were implemented. Measures were put in place to improve the turnaround time of recruitment and staff retention strategy was being developed. Events coordination for the 3 sectors in the department. This KPI was not achieved. Reports were supposed to be developed for events pertaining to International Day of Children, Day of the African Child, and National Epilepsy Week, but this was not done. Instead, the department indicated that resources were utilized for the facilitation and coordination of the launch of the United Nations Orange Day, the United Campaign in the Pelpo, and Western Cape Provinces. Next target, the annual stakeholder forum for coordinators. This KPI was achieved. The department tracked the development of the concept document on the action plan on the annual stakeholder forum as an achievement. In terms of the communication plan with regard to marketing and branding implemented, this KPI was not achieved. The department indicated that the terms of reference took longer than expected and that the market research would only be finalized in the second quarter. It is still concerning that the department is still working on understanding how to improve its marketing and branding for 4 years into its inception. This despite has sought assistance and support from the chief GIS. The number of research analytic reports on the status of women, children, and people with disabilities reduced. This KPI was achieved. The department indicated that this is reduced and presented an annual report on unemployment and child labor in South Africa. Finalized as well as developed on an analytical report on access of information by persons with disabilities. The department cites the implementation of an inception report on the violence against women, the finalized analysis of the survey of special schools, and the development of a tool to assess institutional arrangements at district municipal level as achievements. However, it is unclear as to whether all of the aforementioned outputs are related to the KPI. This 3-day plan of action coordinated. This KPI was not achieved. The department indicated that council was still in the process of reviewing the strategic guideline document and the terms of reference, all of which will be completed in the second quarter. As an achievement, the department also cites the coordination of the signing of the South Africa-Nigeria MOU on partnership three sectors for women, children, and people with disabilities as other main achievements. However, it is unclear as to how this relates to any of the strategic objectives of Program 1 and its KPI. The department's strategic plan includes targets for mandatory policies and procedures relating to occupational health and safety and reasonable accommodation. On 31 March 2014, the department aims to have urge its procedures approved, but they will also aim to have a reasonable accommodation policy approved by May 2013. Outstanding matters. The department previously indicated to the committee that in the previous financial year, which is 12-13, the calling policies were in draft form and will be carried over for completion in the current financial year. It included the integrated M&E strategy, the mainstreaming framework, the advocacy strategy, and the institutional support and strategy development framework. I would say is that these have all been submitted to the committee. Submitted to the committee as final. B, the wage programmatic performance. The program has managed to achieve 7 of the 9 targets set for this quarter. It indicated that we should be set to achieve outstanding targets by the end of the financial year. So this just gives a synopsis of the wage program. Cites the annual targets, whether it was achieved or not, in relation to the first quarter. For C, Program 3 on child license responsibilities. This department had 5 targets to meet in this quarter. These targets were as follows. So each target is now listed and the comments is given. In this, for social touch payments on license children to be conducted in this regard, the department reported that they successfully conducted child protection leave. It should be noted that child protection leave is actually led by the Minister of Social Development and not the department. In terms of child sensitive and community model consultants, the department reports that it consulted stakeholders on 27 and 28 June on the child sensitive community model. The target for implementing this performance indicated during the 2012-13 financial year was to implement this model within one municipality. During the presentation on the quarter report for 2012-13, the department reported that the draft model was completed and was awaiting implementation. They did not implement it due to the fact that they were awaiting reports from the German Development Bank and National Treasury. The issues depend on the contradiction of each other, the insanity, maybe the implementation of this performance indicator. In terms of the M&E strategy to be consulted with stakeholders, the quarterly report presentation for 2012-13 financial year reported that this document has been finalized. The target for this quarter for this budget is to consult with stakeholders on the finalized version. The department reports that it conducts consultations with the heads of M&E units within 4 provinces, namely the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, Free State, and Western Cape. One cannot have consultation on a finalized document. The purpose of consultation is to adopt comments from consultation process into a draft document. The department also reports that it conducts site visits to the Koi and Sang community in the Northern Cape and visited the Honey District in the Free State. Let's ask the members to take us to the next, so I can have a bit of a rest.
Okay, and then the next one is the concept document on the development of the M&E data systems consulted with stakeholders. So the department's report on the status of this target was as follows. Consultations with SAPS-SA on indicators and data systems for WASI for children, an agreement on the template for finalization of metadata and service in the legal agreement. Based on this, the department stipulated that this target was reached. However, the description of progress made it somewhat ambiguous, that doesn't make quite sense. Therefore, clarity was sought on the performance indicator together with the intended progress on this indicator. The AU African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child and the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child report submitted to Cabinet. The department did not meet this target as they missed the deadline for submission to Cabinet for consideration. They have reported that corrective measures were taken to submit the reports in the second quarter of the current financial year. And I think you could probably just add in the fact that Cabinet has approved it and is now at DIRCO waiting for depositing with the UN and the AU, which the department has reported back to us. D program 4, which deals with the rights of persons with disabilities, and an overview of program performance. The program achieved only 1 out of the 3 targets in the first quarter for 2013-14 financial year. In the previous financial year, the program achieved 3 out of 15 targets. The overall performance of the program is concerning, and then there are some points relating to targets not achieved. One was the number of controversial projects that mainstream disability considerations supported. Here, access to justice and child safety projects supported through a workshop on sexual abuse and victim empowerment program or model involving professionals in the criminal justice system, DSD and the Department of Basic Education, including parents of disabled children. This was cited as an achievement. The number of disability rights campaigns coordinated started was not achieved. Instead, the department indicated that the costing and design of the branding will be finalized in quarter two. The number of reports on the status of persons with disabilities published, the target was not achieved. The department indicated that the report will be published in the second quarter as the supply chain process is underway to ensure that the report will be produced. Notwithstanding the importance of supply chain process, our greater concern is the information contained in these reports and the outcome yet. Other main achievements, program notes, the department hosted the UNDSA technical team from 10 to 13 June on a needs assessment mission for the development of a toolkit in partnership with key stakeholders. However, it is unclear as to which key performance indicators is actually related to bring it back to the department and the performance plan. Outstanding matters, it is unclear as to how the department, this program has dealt with all of its outstanding activities that were incomplete from the previous financial year, as this was not reported in the queue on the first quarter report. Furthermore, some of the key initiatives that reside within this program were in fact not reported on in the first quarter report with no explanation as to why these reports were omitted. Some of these targets included monitoring the 2% employment equity target for persons with disabilities, the draft National Disability Policy, the Disability Indicator Matrix, the National Disability Machinery, and the resolutions of the State Party Conference for 2012 and 2013. Other service delivery, you want
to? I think just to, I'll add in terms of the department's response here, the Deputy Minister will be coming to talk to the State Party Conference, so they'll be briefing the committee on that. Adding that, and that in terms of the National Disability Policy, I think a comment was that that's still being looked at. That was the two things that I recall. And I think in the red file, the disability machinery maybe was there.
Again, okay, just to continue on 5.3 on page 27. The oversight visit which the committee undertook to the department offices and subsequent engagement with the department in March 2013 and hereafter highlighted several findings that related to the implementation of the turnaround strategy, policy development, and implementation overall monitoring and evaluation. To this, the committee made several recommendations in order to assist the department in improving its performance outcomes. But include, for example, improving working conditions for staff, addressing ICT and infrastructure, human resources, finance, as well as program-specific issues that related to the policies related to the committee. So just some concluding remarks on service delivery performance. The department has made progress with implementing the turnaround strategy, but acknowledges there are matters outstanding which will be addressed. The filling of key vacancies will contribute significantly to the achievement of performance outcomes. Moreover, the skills audit which have yet to be completed is an important activity, the outcome of which will greatly aid the department in identifying skills deficits as well as strengths and how best these can be optimized. The core programs, namely 2, 3, and 4, have significantly less staff than program 1, focused on administration, so the administration staff. However, these core programs are responsible for the key outcomes of the department and have to be well-resourced and capacitated. Notwithstanding, the performance of Program 4 as compared to 2 and 3 is of a concern and requires attention.
I think,
Mr.
For both 5.3 and 5.4, 5.3, what the report requires is, if we've done oversight, what were the key findings and recommendations? So I just give
given a very, very short summary because our report is very long. And again, 5.4, the concluding comments on service delivery performance, I've just highlighted there could be many more other things that can be shifted or inserted, but what were the most common facing issues that was raised by the committee? But I think of the idea, if there are any additions to 5.3 and 5.4, I think that's important. In terms of 6, the section provides a synopsis of the service delivery performance against spending patterns between 2013 and 2013-14. And here it was comparing the annual report against the quarter one and what the committee had noted. So I've just pulled out some of the issues. In 2011-12, the department incurred irregular and unauthorized expenditure, which have not yet been condoned. Investigations are underway, the outcomes of which will determine what actions are required. Nonetheless, this has had an impact on the finances for 2012-13. In 2012-13, the department incurred irregular expenditure of $6.1 million, which is less as compared to the previous financial year. Notwithstanding this, the department is investigating the reasons for this and will inform the committee accordingly. Now, the over expenditure was incurred for 2012-13, and the department has ensured that this will be maintained going into 2013-14. The department developed key policies in 2012-13. These have subsequently been finalized and should be implemented in 2013-14. The department undertook many campaigns and other initiatives during 2012-13 and reports were produced. The dissemination of these reports are crucial. The findings and outcomes have to be made explicit in order to raise awareness and advocate for change. The National Council on Gender-Based Violence was established in 2012-13 and has received subsequent funding, but this is inadequate to give effect to its mandate. So again with number 6, it's just a summary of the finance and service delivery performance assessment. So looking at what happened in 2012-13 and where the department was going in 2013-14. Getting to the last part of the report, the committee's key findings. And again, all of these headings have been given to us, so I had to look at what had emerged based on what the committee had deliberated and said. The committee welcomed the tabling of the department's annual report within the required deadline. The structure and layout of the 2012-13 annual report has improved as compared to previous reports. The department will ensure that its strategic goal focus has not changed. There is a level of synergy. There is a level of synergy between the goals and objectives in the strategic plan and annual report, although these are not always explicitly similar. In terms of 7.2, governance and operational issues. For governance, the committee welcomed the department's progress through the period under review, as it was able to improve corporate governance by reducing non-compliance with the PSMA, while also setting up various systems within risk management and internal risk management. An internal audit unit was established in July 2012. The capacity constraints were acknowledged and the impact of risk management. In terms of the turnaround strategy, TAS, the committee welcomed the development and implementation of the turnaround strategy. The committee noted that there were outstanding matters related to the turnaround strategy which have yet to be implemented, the outcome of which would greatly enhance the performance outcomes of the department. In terms of infrastructure, the committee welcomed the department's efforts insofar as improving the basic conditions of the accommodation in the Pretoria offices. The committee acknowledged that the department has been communicating with the Department of Public Works in this regard. In terms of human resources, the committee welcomed the filling of key vacant positions, but was more concerned with posts that have yet to be filled. The committee noted that Program 1, support staff, as compared to Program 2, 3 and 4, which includes the core staff, has a significantly higher ratio of 2.6:1, which is concerning given that the latter three programs are expected to drive the core functions of the department. The committee is of the view that the initiatives related to policy development, research, institutional support and capacity building, advocacy and campaigns, as well as stakeholder engagement currently located in Program 1 at the administration should be mainstreamed and relocated. within the respective core programs 2, 3, and 4. Just to pause around that, what we, in the previous comment, it was that if we look at staff for program 2, 3, 4, on average there's about 8 to 10, compared to program 1, where there's more staff. And we're saying that if we look at the, what program 1 is doing around institutional support, research, that should actually be mainstream and taken up by wage, disability, and children. In terms of discipline and grievance processes, the committee appreciated the updates from the department insofar as sharing the information pertaining to disciplinary and grievance matters that have been dealt with to date. The committee was assured by the department after its implementation of the turnaround strategy that staff would receive training on the PFMA. The department has not yet managed to achieve this target.
Continuing on to 7.3, service delivery performance. The committee welcomes the reports and publications submitted by the department to date, which was all received in those various facts. The committee also acknowledged the effort underway by the department to submit further reports, but urge the department to submit these reports regularly as required, as opposed to us always having to pass them all the time. The department explained that the reason for this increase in its advertising budget during last week's annual performance annual report meeting. The department is commended for exceeding the 2% target for the employment of persons with disabilities within the department. However, the committee was concerned with the dismal performance of other government departments for not meeting the 2% target in that regard. The committee welcomed the gender audit reports of the department when they did it in 3 provinces. What was lacking was the indication as to how the findings will be utilized to improve gender equity within the workplace. Moreover, the committee noted that the Commission for Gender Equality Research Department had also undertaken gender audits, but there did not appear to be any synergy or collaboration. This was earmarked as an area for improvement. The committee noted with concern that collaboration between other government departments and the Department of Women, Children, People with Disabilities in drafting of treaty compliance reports, which result in the late depositing of these reports. This comes after the department always for the disability and the children's report came to the committee and said, we asking and not getting anything out of other government departments to actually implement the legislation and policy. In terms of finance performance, in 7.4 on page 29, the committee welcomes obviously the unqualified audit opinion issued by the Auditor General for the department. But in terms of value for money, the committee welcomed the fact that the department did not overspend in its overall budget for this previous financial year. The committee noted with concern the under expenditure in light of all the targets not being met for the respective program. Furthermore, all challenges identified by the committee in the performance of the department as mentioned in this analysis should also be given attention. The committee was concerned about outstanding, irregular and unauthorized expenditure from the previous financial year, and I think we've discussed that at the start of this meeting quite in detail, and the impact this would have on the department's budget going forward. In the 2012-13 period, the department incurred irregular expenditure of 6.1 million rand, which is also a concern. The committee noted with concern the AG findings that there was no sufficient monitoring controls to ensure compliance with laws and regulations, nor were there daily and monthly controls in existence to ensure complete and accurate financial statements. The committee did, however, acknowledge the department's progress in this regard, which entailed the appointment of the Director General, the Chief Financial Officer, the Director and Risk Management, and the establishment of an internal audit committee. Under IT, notwithstanding the importance of the IT infrastructure for the department, the committee noted with concern that this is still required additional funding. Since the inception of the department, this was identified as an area that would have been dealt with in the previous financial year. On the National Council on Gender-Based Violence, the committee noted with concern that the structure did not receive the requisite funding it required in order to function optimally within the previous financial year. Subsequently, the council has received some funding, but this allocation is inadequate in order for it to achieve the desired outcome. outcome. Given the scourge of gender-based violence in this country, this should be the funding for the National Council of Faith. It should be prioritized. The committee has the importance of drawing on existing skills within the department. This is not apparent between Program 1, where the Secretariat Office and National Council is located, and Programs 2, 3, and 4. And what the point here was that a lot of the work that the Council will be doing, reviewing the 365 days of action on gender-based violence, actually affects children and people with disabilities. So even though the Secretariat, the admin function, should be within Program 1, the rest of it should be mainstreamed within the other core programs of the department. And all should not be within Program 1. The development of an integrated and comprehensive plan to deal with gender-based violence is long overdue and welcomed by the committee. However, this must not be done in isolation to the existing policies within the department and government at large. Moreover, this is particularly pertinent for monitoring and evaluation frameworks and related to indicators for collection that reside within the core program. Then, just a response to the, we've mentioned this, the Minister of Finance response to the previous BRRR. The Minister did not provide a response upon communication between the Committee and Treasury that indicated that there was no need for a response and that no recommendations were directed to Treasury specifically. Point 8 just looks at the summary of the reporting request, which is just set out in a table, basically. It was encouraged, for example, looking at one, that the by the AG that there should be monthly reports. Action required was written reports, and what was time frame by the AG was every 15th of the next month for the previous month's financial reports, and those are all encouraged. Quarterly reports is obviously a legal, a legislative requirement in terms of the CFMA. Obviously, a written report together with a briefing to the committee is required. And then there's a time frame. Same with audit outcomes, the same with skills, I'm not going to go through all of them, the same with travel and subsistence, it's mostly written reports only, and unauthorized and irregular expenditure, also written reports is required. Okay. Recommendations looked at through the committee's recommendations, and I think this part, members, was also quite critical and quite important in engaging further with the BRRR. And yet the Minister should ensure that the following recommendations are implemented. What first one relates to financial performance. It is encouraged that the department submit monthly reports to the committee, as this will aid with its oversight, and that also comes from the Auditor General, some findings on the department. All outstanding matters in relation to the turnaround strategy must be reported to the committee on a monthly basis. And this is separate to, this was something the committee decided when the department presented their first turnaround strategy at the start of this year. The department must implement and adhere to stringent daily and monthly financial control that comes from the AG and the FSC as well. The department must ensure that all funds that are appropriated are utilized optimally to avoid under or over expenditure, and that obviously also comes from us as a committee. The department is requested to provide the committee with regular reports for activities that incur travel and subsistence costs. These initiatives should clearly indicate, one, the purpose for the trip, because we've realized that the department is required to travel often, two, the size of the delegation, three, the costs incurred, and four, the outcomes of the trip and action plan as to how the resolutions will be implemented. And this also all relates to the notion of value for money. If you're going, you need to show what's going to happen. 9.2, human resources, that all key funded vacancies must be filled. The department said that we still have some vacancies, and funded vacancies especially. The department's skill audit must be completed by December 2013, and action plan of what is required to address the skills deficit must be developed before the end of this financial year. This must be submitted as part of the department's annual performance plan and revised strategic plan to national for the coming financial year. The committee reiterated the importance of compliance of the PFMA and the National Treasury regulations by the department, and the failure of officials in this regard must be dealt with expeditiously. And this also relates to the fact that the department reported that there was a reduction, or they reduced income non-compliance with the PSMA as opposed to complete non-compliance with the PSMA. Given the Auditor General's findings pertaining to the lack of internal controls and non-compliance with laws and regulations as required by Treasury, training is essential for staff and communicating policies and procedures to ensure that all staff are aware of the policies and procedures. The department must have staff the department must have a personal development plan that is linked to performance contracts for staff members. Funding of personal development must be increased and should not be used for any other purpose but for what it is intended. And this relates to the fact that those performance development decreased, as we saw from the previous financial year. Last bullet point under human resources on page 32. The department must ensure that key vacancies.
Can I register my apologies to your person?
If I can just also add through you, Chair, that these two pages are quite critically important because it actually was going to come back in the next week of our reporting table for me to see how it's been implemented by the Minister and by the Department. So I guess it requires quite a lot of attention.
Your name and honey. Thank you.
Yes, they are. The decisions are very different. They are meeting tomorrow, 10 times. Yes. They couldn't be inside the second so long. They are done to tomorrow. Pardon?
You want to know if you can afford it?
Yeah, he should. I want to see it. I want to be able to make it.